Well, there are sounds of birds in the distance, and we have a table covered in towels. We are 2.5 metres socially distancing, but as Anna takes a huge yawn, which almost swallowed the microphone in front of her face, we are in person today. Hello, Anna. It's nice to see your
God,
face.
Oh, my God, you're real. Oh my gosh.
You're like a real human.
I know. And we're not Zooming, so the sound is like proper now. I don't sound like I've been swallowed by a load of aliens. It's very nice to see you.
Yes, yes, you too. Well, if you would like to join us at this picnic table we find ourselves recording in this rather cold and windy garden, then do grab your headphones, grab your trainers if you're off for a run. We're going to talk listeners' questions July 2020, all about so many different things. Single people, loneliness, hello to you to again, diabetes success stories, writing letters to ourselves, and also some body image reflections. That's all coming up on another episode of the Slimming World podcast. It's a week later. We ended up kind of skipping listeners' questions June because we kind of really felt that the emergency planning episode was in need last week. So if you have ventured out into pubs, cafes, life has begun, then I hope that you've enjoyed it. So I hope that you've enjoyed seeing people, hanging out with people. What is this like? Oh my God, we're so close we could touch.
Yeah, but we won't.
Okay.
Don't touch me. Move away from me.
I've already explained this. I don't like touching anyway, so don't touch me.
But isn't it weird, like, instinctively you want to see someone and give them a cuddle, don't you? And you have to always talk your brain down. No, don't touch them. They might have it. Don't touch them.
Yeah, it's an interesting time. And actually, it's been fascinating reading all of your comments because everybody is so different. Everybody comes at this from so many different angles. So some of the comments that we have a few questions. We have a rap as well.
Magnificent, this rap. Magnificent.
Well, we're going to perform it.
And she didn't tell me that.
We're going to attempt it. It's going to be painful. But we've also got quite a few comments and reactions to things that we've been talking about, which we thought we'd make space for. And then lots of different questions as well. All kinds of things about living up to pressure, being perfect, about bread, bad knees. I mean, the issue when you're just trying so freaking hard and the weight isn't coming off. And we've even got a love story and a little ditty about some sexy underwear to finish with. I mean, if that isn't going to make you listen all the way to the end, I don't know what is.
I mean, that's just a day in a life of you, isn't it, really?
What? Oh, my God. What do you know about my bedroom?
Moving on swiftly.
Yeah, so this is Slimming World podcast. We offer a bit of bite-sized mojo. And whilst we do the podcast ourselves, we are sponsored by Slimming World. So occasionally they do know that we're doing this.
Allegedly.
And even occasionally like what we're doing and get to share it with you. So you may find if you're a consultant that you should get updates, little previews really of what's coming up on the podcast, sneak preview. So keep an eye out for that. And you can send us your questions, any of your comments, things like that, whenever you want. You know, you don't have to wait until listeners' questions. We read them as they come through, and we're finding as more people know about us that we're getting more comments than ever. And we always say that we do read them all. We can't always respond to you all, but be rest assured that we do take in all the comments and they brighten our day. You know, many, many of them really make us smile. So thank you very much, and do not be disheartened if we do not send you an instant reply.
No. Sometimes I'm reading them at like 2 o'clock in the morning when I'm being woken up by my child and I can't go back to sleep. So we are reading and loving them. So thank you.
So the questions and the things that we've got today, I think they're just like so varied, aren't they?
Some of them so brilliantly random. I love it.
You love it.
I love it.
No, I did start. I kind of have screenshot so many different of these. So and they've all gone flipping out of order. So I'm going to have to be like doing moments of I can't find it.
You do love a screenshot, don't you?
Well, do you know what? It just saves me writing.
Yes.
Because if I wrote and copied and pasted every... I mean, I did that a couple of times, didn't I?
It's not worth it.
And it was... I was sending you 10-page documents.
Yeah, not for that.
I've
like
got
this.
A life.
This is good. double-sided. That's enough.
Two-sided as much as my brain can go with. Yeah. Shared album.
Good. Yeah.
Okay, right. We'll work.
Shared album. Never knew about this.
What?
Yeah.
I thought as a parent, you'd be well onto this. When you share your baby photos with the rest of the family or something.
Do that on WhatsApp.
Yeah, well, you
never
just
shared the album. Yeah. Thanks.
Photos. When you go on holiday with friends or family members, you all have a shared album that you add your photos in.
Clearly, I holiday on my own. I don't like other
holiday?
People.
Holiday? What's that?
Who?
Sunshine. When are we having one of them?
It's Sunshine. Winter here.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, the first comment comes from Pauline. And Pauline said that she's a recent joiner to the podcast. And she wanted to say thank you. She doesn't listen when she's in the bath or out walking.
I like this.
Because she likes to take notes, which I love that too. Welcome to the geekiness, Pauline. But what she had said, and Pauline, this reflects a number of messages we've had over the last few months. A lot of people like to kind of send these messages anonymous. I actually get a lot of these messages privately because I've talked about the alcohol stuff. Pauline says that she has done dry January for the past few years, but this year she just carried on. She now hasn't had a drink for 5 months, not even on her birthday. Oh. And strangely, she doesn't miss it and feels so much better and is healthier as well. Her blood pressure has returned to normal. She's no longer on medication and she's super happy about that. And she says, what's more, I'm still having a laugh. And I think I'm a nicer person without the alcohol and more determined than ever to get to target. Which I think was fantastic.
Congratulations, Pauline. I think you just literally, look what you've got from giving it up. The blood pressure thing, so massive. Well done, you.
So then we were also sent a wrap, okay? So Rosanna, thank you so much, sent us this wrap back in May. And she actually sent us a recording of her performing the wrap. Unfortunately, for copyright reasons, I can't play the rap.
She's lying. You want me to do it? You're lying. There's no copyright issue,
is
there?
Well, I thought I'd go one notch higher, Rosanna, and I'd get Anna, the dyslexic dyspraxic, to read a rap and perform it without having... No, I'm not.
Don't do that to me. I'm walking away.
I mean, like, because I don't know...
I quit.
I can't even remember what episode it was, but we ended up finishing... on a bit of a we kind of just rhymed something without realizing, and we were like, can't think of an end or an answer, and we're like, someone will send us one, and nobody sent us. And now finally Rosanna has
done one,
taken what we said and then added some end. I mean, this is gonna sound awful. I have been practicing.
Right, I love the way you've been practicing and you just throw this at me now.
Dude, it's been in the inbox since the 25th of May.
But you didn't tell me we were rapping on air. There's a difference between being in the inbox and rapping on air. Okay, go on.
Are you going to beatbox?
No. Like, I can beat a rhythm. I can barely tie my shoelace.
Suckle your seeds, highlight your peas. Don't forget some S and F in your food diaries. Work in the calcium you need it for your teeth and bones. Suck in the healthy extra A's, but you might find some other ways. Don't forget your protein. Check that it's light and lean. Packed with filling power, you'll stay fuller for hours. Get your speed-free food with fewer calories. It's packed with slimming power. Lose pounds for greater ease. Get yourself some fiber because it's a satisfizer. Could cost less than a fiver to be a food optimizer.
Oh, wow. Rosanna.
That was rubbish. I'm so sorry,
it
Rosanna.
It was the accent. It was the accent that got me. I love that. That is magnificent.
Was it?
Wow.
You don't have to be sarky.
No, no. I mean, Rosanna's words were magnificent.
Oh, well, right.
That's what I meant. Thank you.
Anyway, please send us your suggestions of weird raps that we can get Anna to perform next time.
Oh my gosh, yes. Ones that are no more like than 3 lines long, preferably. Thank you.
You know what's going to happen now? We're going to wake up on one. It's going to be 25
raps.
Poems. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, we enjoyed. That might make you smile.
Thank you.
Right. The other thing, topical this time of year, a lot of students follow Slimming World too. And so we've had a couple of messages from Sophie and Elaine who say that they are studying at the moment. So Sophie says that she is doing A-level, she's got uni stress, she's managing to maintain her weight. She's lost over a couple of weeks and then she's putting it back on. She admits she's a stress eater and the A-level exams really haven't helped the weight loss. But she's been listening to the podcast, been glued to it, and has become addicted, lost over a stone. But just wondered, she also says, I'm from Cornwall.
I love that.
If you'd like to know where we come from. I do, thank you. And so Sophie and Elaine both say, what kind of procedures can they put in place to kind of protect their weight loss from exam stress? And I guess stress eating. Mm. You know what, whether you're studying or whether you're just at home at the moment, so many people stress eat.
Oh, God. And I think the lockdown has highlighted it for a lot of people. How I handle stress eating is to acknowledge it's something I'm doing and plan for it. You know, we often talk about planning being the key to it, but not being surprised, knowing this is how I'm going to feel and this is what I've got to do. Actually, I know after a long time of revising or a long time of writing that I'm going to want something sugary or salty or something like that and work it in. And plan nice meals. I think that's something I really enjoy. Like, maybe that week, maybe about 6 weeks ago, you had a great week. It was when you'd planned in meals that you absolutely loved. It was quite a stressful time for you, wasn't it? So you're really looking forward to something.
Yeah.
Another thing I'd say is don't try and be too perfect, because sometimes food optimizing can be a priority, but other times it's just too much, isn't it? So sometimes you've just got to survive it and just say, actually, I'm not going to berate myself if there isn't 1/3 speed free on every meal. If I can get it in, it'd be great, but plan would be my biggest tip.
Yeah, when I went back to school a few years ago, because I finished uni and then I went in the real world for a bit, and then I got a job where I was working. Well, I actually had three jobs, working 7 days a week, and also went and did a master's part-time.
A nut job.
Yeah, I had a boyfriend in one city, I lived with my mom in one city, worked in another city, and then studied in another city. Oh, I mean, it was exhausting. But somebody who I ended up kind of sharing a house with around the same time, she was studying her accountancy exams. Ah. And the way that she set up her plan was she treated it like a working day or a school day.
Nice.
So she would get up and study 9 to 5 with an hour lunch and 2 breaks. Oh. And so her food times were at the same, breakfast, dinner and tea.
Yeah.
And there was like an evening where you could chill. And it really kind of opened my mind, because I was the type of person, I can be with work as well, where I just like time disappears. I'm in flow, and before I know it, I've done 6 hours without drinking any water, eating anything, and then I'm exhausted and I'm starving, and I will eat anything that is in sight. I mean, I shared the story about how you know, cream eggs, I ended up, when I was studying A-levels, eating 48 cream eggs over 14 days.
Wow.
Because I was just so like head down, and there was no discipline.
No.
I think, and if I look at the way that I was studying, the way that I eat, the way that I work, the way that I manage my time and my energy and the work-life balance, actually, I think that having that approach to managing when you're working from home and you run your own business when you're studying, I think is really important, putting discipline in place. So then, as you say, actually, you've got a nice tea to look forward to, and you can have the evening off, and then you get back on it and you know, smash through 8 hours.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I'm doing that approach when I studied my master's, because I was juggling so many other things as well. You know, I was a lot in the car and working all kinds of shifts. It enabled me to just like kind of draw a line.
Tick
okay,
the
now
box.
I'm doing this. Now I'm doing that. And and whereas previously, I mean, I'd just gone like 14 days where I didn't talk to anyone. And I remember I did my actual uni dissertation where I would work for 4 hours, sleep for 30 minutes, work for 4 hours, sleep for 30 minutes. And I did that for about 21 days. And it was like,
gosh.
You know, now you think, what an idiot.
Yeah, but we were young.
You do what you need to do. So
another thing I know is, I've done a lot of research into it, is productivity when you're eating high fat, high sugar is much lower than if you're eating, you know, fruits, vegetables, food optimizing, basically. So looking at actually, could I work smarter with this and aid my studying?
Well, I heard that, I'm sure like our geography teacher used to tell us, if you eat bananas, they've got all the right
potassium.
Kind of, they make you cleverer.
God, I
and
should
also
be a PhD.
If you draw circles with both hands at the same time, it connects the left and right hand. I mean, you know, you and then
it works.
Honestly, there's a lot of things my that you can go into with this.
My mum is a brain gym, like, instructor, and it's all about linking the both sides of the brain for studying, and you do something called a lazy eight. Connects both sides of the brain.
Yeah. So bananas, lazy eights, and discipline and planning. There you go.
Hope that helps.
So quite a few of you have been tapping into this idea of getting towards target, and it's been really interesting how you've been sharing your stories to see like where me and Anna are at the moment, where we have kind of overcome that starting point and now we're kind of squashing our way through this like muddy end of the journey, I think is one way of putting it. And so it's really interesting to hear so many of you in that situation. So like Sylvia here, I've lost 9.5 stone since January 2017. She's got a stone to lose to get to target. She said the first 8.5, 9 stone was easy to shed. Next half stone was tricky. This last stone is near on impossible. Mm. And because she hasn't entirely stuck to plan because she's just had enough. She's incredibly honest, isn't it? I'm 51, I'm going through the menopause, my star week is all over the place, and I just don't know if that's having an impact, but listening to your podcast has helped me get back into the right headspace. I need to concentrate on the little steps that will get me to target, which is what I was doing in the beginning, but somehow lost my way. And, you know, even hearing, like, where's Hazel? Hazel has been completely honest with us and just said, I'm scared of target. I don't know how many years I've been doing this now, doing Slimming World. I've been at target 3 times. I've started again untold times. As soon as I get there, I put the weight back on and sometimes more. The last time at target, you had to weigh in once a month, so I would eat terribly for 2 weeks and then starve for 2 weeks just to maintain. So she's back in the situation where she is looking at coming back into target. She has actually stayed really focused throughout lockdown. Shops were actually her trigger, which is...
get that.
A few people have said that. And so she's promising herself that no matter what happens, it, you know, where I am in the world, I will check into a group every week and she will keep listening to the podcast.
Oh.
So, you know, I really love the honesty of people.
That
it's
so
almost
brave.
By you writing this, you're saying it out loud.
And yeah, and like we talked about that public acknowledgement or public commitment to do something, I think you've just answered your own questions, and I think you'll do it differently this time. You'll get that support from group, your Slim for Life book. It will equip you, be that 12 weeks that will show you what habits or patterns you might need to change. So, oh, keep strong. Let us know, won't you, when you get there.
So Jan has said that she is really enjoying the reality of us sharing what's going on in our world. And she actually says if it wasn't for our podcast and honesty, she would have thrown the towel in.
Oh, bless you.
She's never made her goal weight ever. And I know how that feels, Jan, believe me. I've been on this journey for 40 years now. So near yet so far was my motto. But now it's slowly but surely.
Oh.
Slowly but surely.
Oh, like your mum Chihuahua steps.
Yeah. She said, Claire, I think you're too hard on yourself. A bit of a perfectionist. Don't be, because look how far you've come and all your hard work at changing your life round. Anna, what a friend and a million you are supporting Claire. I'm going to get my notebook out ready for your 10-point plan.
Oh, I love this. Congratulations. Love your thinking.
Yeah. And so Helen has... sent us again a very honest message saying she's been struggling for weeks and has been on a journey for 2 years. Today, the day that she sent us this message, she finally got her 3.5 stone award. She's been chasing that award for more than 6 months. She is beyond thrilled. She's now less than a stone to target. She knows it's going to be hard, but she's listening every week and she's keeping working hard, so says thank you. And that's, you know, sometimes you just need those little moments to be like, yes!
I did it. What I see of a lot of members is they do this dance around an award, then they get it and they're like, smash it straight after that. But I always think you have to have the ups and downs of a journey to make the journey. It can't always be easy. There will be bumps in the road. You don't expect work to be easy all the time, do you? You know, you don't expect if you're training for a marathon for the runs always to be easy, but we somehow expect that a weight loss journey should, because I've decided I want to do it, it should all fall into place.
It sounds like a should right there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Shoulda, woulda, coulda.
I was just going to do that. How weird.
Were you?
Yeah.
Oh my God, you're the same person.
But so different. You like the outside. I'm sat here just wanting a coffee shop.
Shut up, man. So the Rebecca talked about this. There's one message we get continuously on this podcast. It is about the melon balls.
Who knew you eating that frozen melon balls that day and that conversation we had? Literally, how long ago was that? A year?
No, it's more. I mean, I think we possibly talked about that early days.
And now we still get messages all the time, and they always make me chuckle.
But the thing is, what we didn't realise is right now, as we record this, frozen melon balls in a certain supermarket are not sold anymore.
No.
So Rebecca has gone to drastic measures.
She's made her own.
And she says over here. I think she might mean, I want to say, she means Ireland. We don't even sell frozen melon balls over here. So she just bought a punnet of watermelon chunks and froze them.
It worked. Good call.
And then sent us a picture. But I love how Instagram does that. This image is blurred to protect you from unwanted content.
Yeah.
Tap to see a preview.
If you don't follow the person, we get quite a lot of those, and I always think, oh my God, what am I tapping to look at? And then it's normally a lovely meal.
Yeah, exactly. So, Kirsty. Okay, so Kirsty has celebrated. She hit a huge milestone of 5 stone
wow.
award. Let's just take that in. Whoop, whoop, whoop. However, what she's really struggling with is sometimes the success and getting the certificates and the chasing the goals does not always match with how your head feels.
Mm-hmm.
So. What she says was, the more weight I've lost, the more I felt almost ashamed to tell people outside of Slimming World how much I've lost. And when I have, it's been a shock to people. When I get to Target, I'll have lost 7+ stone, which feels like a small adult. It is. So I'm worried people who've never been overweight will be shocked by the number. Any experience of this or ways to change the mindset on this?
Oh.
I mean, I initially think that there's a lot of emphasis being put there on what other people think.
Yes.
And other people's opinion of you. And it's dangerous territory, isn't it?
I
say that as someone who does it.
Yeah, totally. Can I be entirely honest? I think stand loud and proud. Look what you've achieved. The courage, the determination, the dedication it takes to lose that amount of weight. I think if you've got people around you that are judging you for that, because of what you used to weigh, they shouldn't be in your life. That's what I would be. You know, as I've got older, I've got really into that. If you cause me harm and upset, I'm detaching from you because I don't need that negativity. I think you should be so proud of what you've done, because the people I meet that have achieved these amazing weight losses, I think what I see is their courage. I don't see maybe that they weighed something before. Do you?
No, and I think when you actually check out the reality of the situation, most people are not even thinking about you because they're too, I mean, obsessed with thinking about themselves.
Yeah.
Or what you're thinking about them. And a lot of it can come from jealousy. So when you start doing well, we've talked about this, it's like a mirror, because they see you doing well and they're like, oh, I wish I could do that and I can't. And it makes them feel uncomfortable. That's more likely the reason. But I think you're right. A lot of people will be like, wow, you've done that.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And everybody is facing their own battle. And whilst they might not be overweight, there may be something else that they've had to overcome in their life that you don't know about.
And and I think it's really about maybe acknowledging how you still feel having lost weight. Are you still battling those inner demons of who you used to be and how you were made to feel by other people? Because actually, what we've had to acknowledge is that our heads haven't caught up with our bodies sometimes, and it may be indicating to you that maybe there's a bit of development that you might want to work on with seeing the person you are now. But an astounding achievement, do you not think?
Yeah, 5 stone.
Yeah.
I know that as someone who lost just 5 stone.
Yeah.
And I totally understand that feeling, but don't give 2 hoots about other people. And like I say, you never know what's going on in their world, and you have to check out the reality of what are they actually thinking.
Yeah, someone had said something that had upset me, and I was talking to another person about it, and they said, remember, it's never about you. It's about how they feel. And actually, you detract that it's about you and them, and you see their pain, and it kind of allows you to distance that feeling.
Yeah, separate it.
Yeah.
So shockers all round. There was even capital letters used on this message. I like the way that people emphasise that. When there's an excess of emojis and
I do love an emoji.
Exclamation marks and capitals, you know that you need to pay attention.
You do, don't you?
And so, Leah, you shouted from the rooftops about this. I'm just getting round to listen to your podcast with Sal, Vavavoom Your Food Recipes.
Oh, yes.
And she says, wow, I am shocked. Even as a chef, I didn't know any vegetables grown under the soil should be cooked in cold water, and any vegetables that grow above the soil should be cooked in boiling water. It really is true that you learn something new every day.
It really, really is.
There's a pigeon.
He's
just,
gone now.
Yeah.
He's about to poo on me, wasn't he? You could see that coming.
So that made me chuckle. And actually, what I also think was interesting, there was a bit of a theme around some of the messages in the last few weeks about this kind of mood lifter. Mm. And I think a lot of us early May had felt quite desperate. You know, we were a bit like, oh, where is the end? I need something. And so a lot of you just sent us a message like Mina saying, oh, my days, I totally needed that episode today. The irony is I was just about to order a vegan pizza as being feeling a bit low in energy and motivation. Mm. I was about to give in and then I realised it was podcast day. Popped you guys on within 5 minutes. I was peeling spuds and cooking myself a home-cooked grin instead. What's a grin?
No idea. Grin.
Grin. It made me laugh. Grin. Laffy grin. I don't know.
Home cook grin instead. Oh, please let us know what a grin is.
Should I?
Yeah.
I feel like I want to Google.
Wow.
Food optimised grin.
Yeah. God, it's taking my head to all sorts of places. Please, Mina, could you just send us a message when you listen to this episode and tell us what a home cooked grin is?
Tina sent a message saying she listened to the podcast this afternoon. She was feeling so low. She wrote down... Ooh, what's going on there?
He's chopping a tree.
I mean, it sounds like someone's nicked a load of supermarket trolleys, doesn't it?
I think he's got a chainsaw behind us.
Oh, dear.
Sounded like all my knees knocking together.
Well, just don't come and get this gazebo, yeah. So Tina said she was feeling low. She wrote down all the points and filled in her why. I think this is about the 10-part episode.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and she got off her backside. She did 30 minutes of Zumba. She feels so much better, and she's now cooking a delicious cottage pie.
Oh, cottage pie.
Yes, Katie, it really is going here.
It really is. I'm so scared for us.
I'm listening on headphones and I genuinely feel like it's like a metre away from us.
Do you know what I feel? This is just really giving more credence to the fact we shouldn't be outside.
Oh my God. And the thing is, it's not going to end anytime soon, is it?
This is the reality of recording outside, people.
The dog's back.
A dog's come to say hello. I mean, it's all go right now, isn't it? Anyway, where were we? Katie.
We're talking about a grin. Or was that someone else?
No,
where are we?
They've got a grin right now.
Okay.
Katie. I feel like we're in a building site. Katie. I don't know how we have come. As Katie said, absolutely love this week. She had me in tears for the first 3 minutes. Only the first 3 minutes.
What were we talking about?
Was it that sad?
Yeah.
I'm feeling exactly the same as you both, but you have me a big virtual Simming World hug, and I'm good to go for another week. Love it.
Aww.
Right, do you know what? I'm just gonna like pause here and see whether we can find out where is the petrol fumes which are embracing us under this gazebo coming from. Well, after that little respite, what was that? Basically a lawnmower, if you were wondering. It wasn't a chainsaw out to come and get us like a horror movie. So that was that. That's what you get for recording in Manchester. Where were we,
Katie's virtual hug.
Oh, yes, man, did we need that. Maria Maria, love your podcasts. This week I've been feeling really stuck. So this was, a lot of people were commenting on the ag, I'm stuck, because you came up with the 10-point plan, didn't you?
I did.
And she really felt stuck because she was back at work, she wasn't have time to plan properly, feeling guilty for overeating, the negative emotional cycle had continued. She even broke down in tears on her weekly Zoom call with a consultant and group. But listening to us, she's realised it's normal to feel like this sometimes, and it's part of the journey that we are human. We are juggling so much, like work, home, family, and just the reality of sometimes it's hard. And so thank you for being so open and honest and for providing this advice, tips and support, and know that it is appreciated. And you know what, that's good. We need to sometimes catch these comments to hear our own advice, don't we?
Yeah, 100%.
Kyle just basically said, thanks so much for this, as in the 10-point step thing that you shared with us. Today's podcast is brilliant. Are you sure you're not living in my head?
Oh, love it.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, isn't it? Right, so what has also been interesting, and you know, we've been talking a lot about journals, and some of you have been sharing your pictures of journals, which, you know, whether you follow like the official Slimming World journals or you do your own thing. In fact, your sparkly glittery thing over here is beautiful.
Oh, this isn't a food journal, this is just a journal,
a dear diary,
a book. No, this is just a book where, you know, where you write notes,
random scribbles, like, from Daisy.
Call the mortgage broker.
Yeah, but it looks beautiful. Yeah, like,
I do like a pretty book.
It's got sparkle, that's for sure. Yeah. You're definitely staying on message.
Yeah,
but we don't have their name, so they are. Their email is Thapar.
Ooh,
Thapar. It might be your name. I don't know. Thapar.
Thapar.
Thapar. Thapar.
That's not their name.
It's clearly not their name.
No.
But if I just call them Thapar, is Thapar, that right?
Yeah, go Thapar.
Thapar. sent us a picture of their food diary, and I looked at this and was like, wow, there's different colours, there is stars. You don't have a picture on...
Oh, no, I'm searching on my shared album for this picture. Like, where is it?
So I didn't properly screenshot it because I just looked at it selfishly. I mean, you do also get the inbox.
I know, but you know, I do.
God. So, and basically there were stars, there was different colours. But one of the things that she's kind of been realising is just thinking about, not necessarily always about sins, but also thinking about non-scale victories. And so kind of capturing these as like they go along.
Oh.
So weighing chocolate, trying a new recipe, going for a run in the rain. And so she's kind of put them on the side of her food diary, or his food diary. And so that when they look at the diary, it's just full of positivity and pretty colours.
Love
and it's
this.
Not just the number of sins, and it just makes doing a food more diary more fun. And they wanted to share this with us so that we can pass that on to other people, that, you know, rather than this idea of being a chore,
yeah,
how can you capture it better?
I talk about the positivity bank and filling it up, keeping all those recognition of all the good things and happy things that you've achieved.
So, headspace. I was trying not to do the
Yes, you've changed it to a
You're so mean.
I'm not mean, because you pick up things that I don't even notice, but it was cute.
It sounds like a dog.
Yeah, my little Lola used to do that, and she wanted chicken.
All right, okay.
Oh, this is what happens when you bring me outside.
It's quite chilly, isn't it?
Oh, my God.
Should we just do three star jumps?
No.
I'm doing three star jumps.
No, my bra isn't good enough for that. She really is.
My genuinely freezing.
Claire turned up with gloves, right? And I was like, oh, yeah, like you need gloves.
I'm just going to say, I have got leggings on and jeans. I have got a thermal long sleeve top, a t-shirt, a fleece, and a waterproof jacket, and gloves.
Yeah, and I pooped
two pairs of socks.
Look, my Raynards has come back on my fingers. I can't feel my fingers.
I gave you plenty of preparation.
Yeah, and I've got other clothes.
You're not wearing them, and you're just moaning. Anyway, right. Body image. Okay, there's an episode that we did a while ago whilst Anna puts a mint leopard jumper over her head. Jeez, it's a good job we don't do TV.
There's a reason for that.
Really, I think there must be. Right, I'm talking about a serious subject here.
Sorry.
Get in the zone.
Just blowing my nose.
Oh, God, it's descended again.
Right, body image. It was an episode that we were quite worried about, actually.
We were nervous about that one, weren't we?
We were quite worried because we didn't know, are we okay to talk about this?
Mm.
You know, it's the thing that we're all thinking about, but do we actually talk about it? And then bringing in people who were like millionaires, like Adele, is like, oh, well, that she's got millions, she can buy her way out of it or anything. But I think what we wanted to do is just get people thinking and start the conversation.
Mm.
And actually, some of the comments that you guys have sent have been unreal. Let me just pick out a couple, okay? So Katrina and Fabiola both sent us comments. Katrina said she actually wrote like a post, okay, and she tagged us in it. So she put here, sharing with her followers, "Have you ever been subject to people's opinions, advice on your body? Let me tell you, I have been there, received it, and I've got the t-shirt. Why do people think it's okay to give their opinions and comments on how someone else looks? This wasn't just from friends, but also relatives.
Ugh.
Years ago, when I was struggling with eating disorders, I started building myself back up. I reached a healthy weight and I was still criticised. Going to be my biggest at a size 22, I was still criticised. Not long after giving birth to my first son, to be told by a relative, 'I just want to put a pin in the back of your calf and draw the fat out.' I was a size 12. It is unacceptable. And when my second son was a couple of months old, what I stupidly trusted to be a close friend from a couple we were friends with pushed diet tablets onto me. I was a young mom with two small kids and suffering postnatal depression, was size 12, but this older woman would push for me to take diet tablets. She would shame me if I ate food when the four of us would sit down for a meal. I was young and I was naive. Fast forward to going up to a size 22 when I was at my lowest ebb with depression. I was fat shamed by family members, made to feel like crap. Now I'm 40, I'm educating myself with food, I'm following the Slimming World plan, and I'm a confident woman. Would those same people say those things to me again? No. Would they heck us like? So what makes it okay for friends and family to fat shame you? It isn't okay. It shouldn't be done. And listening to this podcast has made me realise how much people in my life over the years have had their 50 pence worth on what I look like. Well, off you beep."
What courage it took to write that. How amazing.
And own your story.
Yeah.
And you know what? Just the young and the naive. Sometimes we do things because we look around the people who we're with and we think, well, it's okay because everyone else is doing that, and we normalise behaviours or something. But when you have to hit stop and say, is there another way I could be doing this?
Yeah. Or I don't have to stand for this. Wow. What an achievement in your own mind and not taking it. I love that.
It's incredibly powerful.
Mm.
So Fabiola says, "Most of my friends have no weight issues, and yet they tell me how they've drank a glass or two of wine all through lockdown, and as for baking cake, sourdough bread, chicken wing, ribs, they seem to eat what they like, when they like, without putting on anything, and it's really starting to get to me. I know how losing a significant amount of weight was life-changing for me. Putting it all back on wasn't so good. Being around people who don't have issues with food is soul-destroying right now. Mm. I find it so hard. They always say how good I look, stop getting hung up with food. As lockdown continues to unfold, people will want to celebrate more and more. It terrifies me. I know how hard trying to stay on plan is, and avoiding the extra sins is going to be tough. All my body magic right now is to ensure I maintain, not put weight on. As I said at the start, am I the only person feeling this way?"
No.
Yeah.
In short, wow. Do you know what I've seen in lockdown, watching my members? Some of them have treated it like an assault course and it's going to be the best thing for them. And some of them I've watched just cling on by the skin of their teeth. Is that the saying? And actually, it's okay wherever you're at. I think you've just got to recognise that sometimes all you can do is hold on. And that's okay, isn't it?
Yeah.
And well done for acknowledging where you're at, because I think lockdown has shown for me that I've got some people in my life who literally can make bread and, you know, cook cookies and drink wine and it's fine. And there's people like me, I look at a cookie and I put 3 stone on. And we're just all very different. But, you know, celebrate the fact that you're maintaining, because that's an achievement all in itself, as we both know.
Well, you know, when even when we started this podcast, I remember like our first episode that we did about maintaining.
Mm.
And I actually remember going to meet you to do that recording and thinking, oh, what's the point in doing a podcast about weight loss when we're talking about maintaining?
Now look at us. Look at you.
Genuinely, I was like, well, that's pointless. Because why would you want to do that? But now I understand that it's not just about chase, push. It's about, oh, I just need a little breather. You know, if you're walking up a hill, you don't just charge up it like 60 miles an hour, do you? You take a little stop. You maybe have a sit down, have a little sip of water. Oh, that's a nice view. Do a quick selfie. Then you keep going.
I don't know why I'm at the bottom.
Oh, my shoelace is under and I've got to stop and do my shoelace. That's a bit more realistic.
Yeah.
But, and I wonder whether a lot of people probably feel like how I felt then.
100%. Because I think what we kind of set the goal is, I've got to lose weight and I've got to do it and I've got to do it now. And don't give us the fact that, you know, when you're learning your craft in uni, in school, in whatever, you don't expect to be brilliant in 10 minutes. We do with weight loss. We expect it to all come off and to be easy.
I expect myself to be brilliant at everything.
Oh,
now.
Do you?
Yes. That's my issue.
Yeah. And having a bit of a reality check. So this isn't about taking away the belief and the dream. This is about actually, you know, in the 10-point plan, realistic aims and expectations. And planning in for setback, because it will happen.
Realistic.
You know, like big organisations, they have catastrophe plans, don't they?
Yeah. When things like lockdown happen,
so that they know that they've got a plan for every circumstance. As slimmers, we're not very good at doing that.
So true.
I know.
What I also find, it just kind of jumped out at me, like the people who, where things haven't quite gone to plan, or they've kind of been there and they've got this amazing award or success, and then it's like the what happens afterwards, and how we're always chasing towards, I don't know, the wedding or the 60th birthday party or the 40th or something like that, and it's what next. And we had a couple of messages from people who have been in the limelight,
had the big achievements, haven't they?
So And I sometimes you don't get to hear from these guys, so we really appreciate your messages. So Dan sent us a message, and Dan was Slimming World's national Mr. Sleek a couple of years ago, and he said he really related to what we were talking about, like this pressure that we can kind of...
Hello.
That was a blue tit having a little fight with another blue tit.
Really?
Yeah, a pair of tits having a fight. Anyway, serious subject here. Back into the mode. Dan, basically, since being the face of, certain aspects of awards in Slimming World, he's just, you know, his life happened, right? You know, he's getting divorced. He's had a lot of stress. You know, he got a stone and a half out of his target. But for the first time in the past few weeks, he found our podcast, has been listening, and he's getting himself in the right mindset.
Oh, I love that.
And Maxine also shared with us, she had been Woman of the Year a couple of years ago as well. She lost 18 stone with Slimming World, 20 stone altogether, and so was crowned the National Woman of the
Amazing
Year.
Amazing lady.
And when she listened to the episode 81, I'm stuck, she just kind of said how much she loved it and how, you know, it's been a whirlwind since she kind of got thrown into like the limelight and kind of had changed her life so much. However, you know, she did feel that pressure to feel perfect. Like she had to be a certain way, she had to look a certain way. And actually, once her story was featured, sometimes people would come up to her in the street and, you know, kind of notice or recognize her. So the pressure was super, super difficult. And she honestly admitted that in the last year, she gained overall a stone and she just felt stuck. And instead, she was looking at how much she gained instead of focusing on where she is now and where she wants to be and where she's come from.
Amazing lady.
And that's why, Maxine and Dan, you were the type of people that won those awards, that was featured in that way, because the reflection that you have, that no matter the bumps, it's about...
Going.
Yeah, it's about what you do. And life just doesn't kind of end once you get to this mystical, magical place, if it even exists. It keeps going.
Yeah, I think the thing I learned when I damaged my spine so badly is that you have to find another focus rather than hopping from aiming for one thing to the next. Like, I've learned to just be. That's a really weird experience. Like, actually, I'm not waiting for this to happen or whatever. I'm just living for the now, because actually I don't know how long the now might be, type thing. But in a weight loss journey, we're waiting for this big end to be slim, everything to be fixed, and the fireworks to start, aren't we? And when you realise that might not happen, or it doesn't need to happen, that can be such a weight lifted. Really can be.
Talking about weight lifting, I've got a fact for you.
Nice segue.
Yeah, man. It's like I do this for a living.
Yeah.
Dropping a pound of weight takes 4 pounds of pressure off your knees.
Isn't it incredible?
In other words, lose half a stone and the load on your joints is lifted by an impressive 2 stone.
So I had a gorgeous member, very glamorous, very active lady. She was due to have a double knee replacement. She lost 6 stone with me and never had to have new knees.
Wow.
How incredible is that?
Wow. Well, Kerry, inspired me to kind of take a picture of that particular fact, which I stole from the Slimming World magazine. Kerry basically has lost almost 5 stones. She walked into Slimming World on walking sticks with bad knees. She has had such a transformation and challenging journey, but now she runs 10K.
Oh my gosh, wow, I love that.
It's just,
that's inspiration if ever I've heard it.
It's amazing. However, her little thing that she gets stuck on is bread.
Oh, so many people do. If I could name 2-3 things, bread, wine and chocolate are the ones that my members say mostly triggers them. Bread is a gateway drug, one of my members once said.
So how do you handle it? What are your tips?
My tips are, if bread triggers you, stay away.
Really?
Yeah, because it's like me with chocolate, just a little bit.
So what, do you have a wrap or pita bread instead, or just use your health extra B for cereal?
Yeah, just if you know bread is something that you challenges you, and 2 slices of wholemeal bread is not going to cut it, it's going to make you want 8, 12, don't go near it. Imagine you're allergic to it.
Yeah, I quite like bread with butter, and knowing that butter is sinned, and yeah, I can't have bread without butter.
Yeah, and bread with chocolate spread, or bread with honey, or bread toasted with some cheese. Like, think where it takes you to. If it was just the bread, it's not just the bread, it's everything the bread brings.
Well, it's when you want bread, cake, chocolate and a glass of wine that you're like, well, that's not really going to work out, is it?
And to lose 2 stone in 4 minutes. No. Don't go hand in hand.
Yeah. Realistic. That feels like the mega word of this podcast, isn't it?
I think I said to a member the other day, we were talking about where she was struggling, and we're talking about actually just saying no. And she messaged me and said, Anna, I've started saying no, and it's amazing. And actually the power it gives you to say, look, bread doesn't work for me, triggers me, so I don't have it anymore. I've made a controlled choice. It may suck to begin with, but get a week, 2 in, you'll be like, oh, the freedom I've got now.
Well, denial is also a word that comes up when they're like, so where's this? Christine was talking about the guilt podcast. Aww. And her issue is denial after a gain and hitting target. The amount of times I've completely lost it and convinced myself I've hit target, so now it doesn't matter. Helen also says, quite laugh, my consultant has bleated on about your podcast and how we should give them a go. So I gave in.
Sorry.
I had to have a bit of help, though, as I didn't know what a podcast was and how to get it, so I can listen. And I am amazed. I am inspired. I am ready to go. Thank you. So she's been on a podcast for on and off years, back in the red and green days.
Oh, oh yes, been there.
Yeah, me. So she's lost 4 stone, but now it's kind of turned into only 3 stone, and she's struggled. She struggles with secret eating, denial, dreaded binge eating. So this again feels like, how do we kind of give ourselves a bit of a reality check? Mm. You know, one of the things I realised since lockdown, until last Saturday, I've been doing home ways, but I haven't been writing the home ways in my book. And so I opened the back of my book for the first time since March. And I've been logging it on my, whatever you call it, watch.
Oh, right.
On the app. And I thought, no, I'm going to write it in the book. Because the 3 columns of, okay, what is your weight?
Yeah.
How much did you lose that week? And how much have you lost overall? Those 3 columns give me a clearer reality check.
Totally.
And it allows me to see, okay, over the month of April, how much did I lose? Over the month of May, how much did I lose?
Much
gain?
Better perspective.
Yes.
Or gain. I like that we said that really quickly. Or gain.
Yeah. So then you're able to face what is the reality.
And actually, it takes the pressure off. It bursts the bubble. Whereas actually, when you hide from it, I found that a lot in life, you kind of, it's massive, isn't it? Like, I had a mound of paperwork that I've been putting off for ages. I did it yesterday and the relief was so intense. But then I was like, Anna, why didn't you do this sooner? And it's the same with weighing, isn't it? And admitting it just feels a bit rubbish, doesn't it? And it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. When you admit it to yourself, that's the start of it, isn't it, really? Diabetes. The amount of people that respond to the diabetes episode with their own stories. And again, one that we kind of quite worried about, that we were like, oh, we could have gotten this right. Like, yeah. We want to make sure we sound informed, but not patronising.
And also, it was a very personal one for me. And I felt like, oh God, am I doing dad justice when that came out?
Yeah, and so many of you messaged, like Steffi messaged, Angela messaged, talking about how they have or have had diabetes or have family members. I mean, Joe here, just the reality check that it gave her. Let me just read this to you because she's also a consultant as well. And we want to make sure that people hear from consultant stories, not just members. So Jo has been a consultant for 2.5 years. She's a team developer for the last 18 months. She's only recently listened to the podcast, but she's become hooked. So originally she lost 7 stone. She was 1 stone from achieving her target when she became a consultant. And then she struggled. So she wants to say a special thank you because her 17-year-old son was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at 6 years old. It was really, really difficult. She connected with support groups from other families who were going through the same things, which really, really helped her. However, she had to shed a tear over hearing your experiences with your dad, Anna. And particularly the comment where you said about having a medical condition yourself meant that that you don't have any control over, and that with diabetes, people do have a choice to make a change. And that was something that a lot of people picked out. So 2 weeks after Joseph's diagnosis, she found out that she was pre-diabetic, which wasn't a huge shock because she weighed around 20 stone, but it felt like a massive slap in the face. And she developed a huge sense of guilt because she caused this herself. And whereas her boy had no choice with his diabetes or any chance to make it better, so she wallowed in this guilt for quite some time before she felt strong enough to make a change. And once she decided that she had the power to reverse it, then she got on, she made the changes she needed, and that's when she went on to lose 7 stone, cured herself of this pre-diabetic state.
Wow.
And it wasn't easy, but she owed it to her son to do that. And she said the podcast reminded her of her why and made her more determined than ever to get back to where she was and to finally, for the very first time, become a target member. She was crying as she wrote us the email, as finally she felt like she can achieve what has felt impossible for such a long time.
What an amazing lady. Thank you for sharing that.
So many. I'm just trying to find. There was a lady called Evie who sent us a message, and it's disappeared in my thing. Hang on. Please hold the line whilst I find the one here. No.
Evie.
I broke it.
You broke it?
Broke it.
Maybe you dreamt it. Maybe Evie's not real.
There we go. So then Evie sent a message, and she said she was 19.5 stone when she was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. And the next step was going to be type 1 because she had no control over it. Then her dad passed away through diabetes, heart disease, high cholesterol, on the verge of losing both his legs. And so she had to make the choice, turning his life support off. It was the hardest day of her life. And then she woke up to herself and thought, well, what do I want to put my sons and my grandchildren through this? And had to really look in the mirror and say, no. So she started losing weight on her own, and then she needed support, so she joined Slimming World. Her diabetes is now gone, 2 years in remission, no more medication. She started Couch to 5K in 2018. She now runs half marathons. She married her partner in 2015. They met in 1993. She's kettle size 4 times a week. She's now 12 stone. She can't get to a target weight of 12 stone. She's still going. It's taking been a 2-year battle, but she's happy where she is. She'd just like to get this last bit off. COVID-19, the lockdown has been a struggle for her mentally, but she's maintained her weight. And it just proves that if you really want to lose weight and diabetes, you will do it. You've got to be in the right headspace to conquer your demons. And good luck to everyone who is fighting diabetes.
What a spectacular woman. Evie. Wow. I'm never lost for words, but that's blown me away. Incredible achievement. And incredible strength. Really is, isn't it? Let us know when you get to your target.
Yeah, please. Well, hopefully, you know, you'll have inspired other people by sharing this story. So then the Slimmer World blog
that you appeared on.
I know.
With your letter.
Yeah.
Should we talk about that for a minute?
Slimmer World blog.
She's written in the notes I've been given to talk about this, but she's skated around it. You can see she doesn't want to talk about it.
Oh, you've heard about it.
And now she's come back round to it. She's not good at blowing her own trumpet.
Well, what's
so
the
would
point?
You would you like to what's the point?
Yeah, I've done it now. Yeah, I've said it. I've had my moment.
Yeah, but
I've been talking about others.
But there may be people on here who don't know about it, Claire. And you could change one person's life by talking about it. So spill. Come on. She's good at dishing it out, isn't she, people? Oh. She's not good when it gets given back.
Episode 76, Managing Your Mindset. We had Dr. Linda Papadopoulos.
Say it with a bit of love.
Sorry. And one of the things, my last conversation when I met Linda in person back in January, since between that time, she really made me kind of think about coming to peace with the girl I was, the girl I am, and the fact that they're the same person. And I wrote a letter to myself, to my body, thanking it and apologising to it for what I'd put it through over the last few years. And and we shared it on the podcast, and then a number of you said we want to see it published. So Slimmer World blog contacted me and said we'd love to feature this episode. It's had a lot of great reaction, so I shared the letter as part of the blog. And what was really interesting is just like hearing other people's reaction, like some of you saying that you had written letters to yourselves. Debbie put it made her feel differently about her own body. Ellen also said she held her breath the whole time I was reading it, misty eyed. What did Frankie say? I can't even find, but either way, people were just like, whoa. And I think it's one of those things where it just make you kind of think, oof, what would I say? And I challenge people to write a letter themselves. And it doesn't need to be for anybody else, it's just for you. But it seemed to resonate with a number of you, I think.
A whole lot of you. It was amazing. Blow that trumpet. Wow. She's a work in progress.
Okay, let's fire through a couple of ones. So water retention, Janice talks about, and people talk about this like whoosh effect, about the impact of Star Week.
Okay.
Joe asked about that. What's the deal here then?
The deal is the whoosh effect is something that's made up. And it's a load of rubbish, if I'm honest. There's no such thing as the whoosh effect. From what the research I've done, this is about fat cells filling with water and how they drop out. And from what I've read, it seems like there's not much scientific proof or any that this happens. What is true and fair to say is that around the time of the month, what happens is some hormones, well, progesterone and estrogen, they control you the way that your body regulates fluid. So around the time of the month when those hormones are changing, you can retain more water as a result of that hormone fluctuation. But it's not weight. It's just water that will dissipate naturally.
Yeah.
The thing I've learned is that if you don't, when you're time of the month, I don't know about you, you can get hormonal cravings.
Yeah.
If you give in to those and you eat all the chocolate and eat all the bread, you will gain weight, as well as if you retain fluid. Now, not everyone does retain fluid. So it's really being honest with yourself. What do you do around the time of the month? If you're gaining weight, is that because of a fluid fluctuation, or is it because you're not fully food optimizing? So the thing I had to come to terms with is that I used my fluid retention as a little bit of an excuse and then went and ate some more. So it was a culmination of the two. So that's what I've identified with myself. But I would always say if you are retaining fluid and it is hormonal, it will dissipate. So keep carrying on food optimizing. You'll see the weight loss you're due.
And that's where I kind of look at my weight loss over a month, not week by week, because I think that kind of counters the cycle ebbs and flows.
Yes, totally. And I think it's really important that you ascertain your pattern and that you don't say it's three times a month, because that won't be hormonal water changes if it is. So I found that a bit of honesty, a bit of charting will show you if and when that happens. But if you're due a weight loss, you will see that weight loss. The fluid may sometimes just mask it.
Huh. Okay, we had a number of people who are back in Target, so a quick shout out to them. Marion doing her runs,
woohoo!
Caitlin, Bronya, Vicky. I mean, Wow, we also had some incredible emails from Ruth and Lisa about the reality of Target and how what they were recognising listening to some of the episodes, that they still needed the Slimming World support, and that even a few years on, talking about how they realised listening to the scales episode, that the scales, the numbers were still ruling their mind even though they were at Target. And I find that fascinating to know that actually, you know, there is no kind of clear line drawn that when you get to Target, these things that you're struggling with now are likely things that you will continue to struggle with. Mm. So get to grips with how it works now, because then it might, you know, it's not going to dissipate. No. It's not going to disappear.
No, I think that's the thing to know about Target. Just because you cross the line doesn't mean a switch has been flicked. You've just learned some great habits that we very deeply instilled. But I think it's, imagine a newly qualified doctor. They take a while to fall into that position and learn their skill and their craft. It's the same with being a Target member.
Yeah. So a couple of you had mentioned a thank you, a personal thank you, because I gave a little story where we talked about what it was like when I lived on my own and I was single. And I said, for people who are in lockdown going through at the moment, how difficult I know that will be for you. And a number of you said thank you for that. You know, Rhonda, Sarah, Helen all sent us private messages about their stories. So, you know, a big hug sent to you right now, and so many others of you that are in that situation. What I also like, you know, so many of you are saying that we feel like your friends. Hello to Kirsty and Kathy. Kathy talked in her message about, you know, just having this release of not being perfect as well. And, you know, we're hearing that from Mr. Sleek and National Woman of the Year. So we're all in that boat. But there was also a couple of stories that I thought that really made my heart smile. So we love a good love story.
Oh, we love a love story.
And I thought, how can we finish this podcast on a high?
Oh, go on.
Well, Helen sent us a little message saying losing 4 stone gave her the confidence to be the person she wanted to be. It gave her the strength to come out and be proud.
Oh my God.
P.S. I even picked up the love of my life in group.
Oh.
My consultant is my girlfriend of 3 years.
What? Oh my gosh, I love that. Wow.
Yeah, I was not expecting that, Helen. We've never had a message like that.
Brilliant.
And Jules sent us a message saying she didn't feel confident to kind of put this on the public domain as a comment, but wanted to share us with us. So I hope you don't mind us mentioning this, Jules. We're not giving away your Instagram name or where you are or husband's name or anything like that.
Or the pictures, so please don't worry.
Being overweight made me feel... One thing I always wanted was to wear underwear that made me feel good about myself and feel sexy, be able to look in the mirror without feeling disgusted, and finally keeping the lights on while doing the deed. When the lights off, I felt great, but couldn't relax when the light was on. I think imagine a lot of people maybe nodding their heads right now. Now I'm down over 4 stone. My confidence has grown in all areas. My husband came underwear shopping with me for the first time, and we had so much fun in a particular popular high street store.
Wow.
I tried on some beautiful underwear and felt amazing. My husband came and used the peephole on the changing room doors. I didn't even know they had that.
No, I never knew that existed.
And I felt, after 27 years of marriage, like the sex goddess my husband kept telling me I was. No matter how overweight I was, for the first time, I believe him. It's something that's enhanced our relationship further, and I feel like I'm younger and more in love with him than ever.
For so many reasons.
There's hope for you, Anna. Who knew that all you need to do with your husband is go to a popular high street store and use a peephole?
My poor husband. Thank God he doesn't listen to this.
Look, I think the comments that we get, they're just so varied. Yeah. And, you know, so many that we've just kind of whizzed through and missed out here. But thank you so much for sharing them. You know, do make sure you subscribe, you follow, you send us any kind of correspondence. We're on Instagram at Slimming World Podcast. Next week, the subject is Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. It's inspired by so many of your comments that you've already shared on our Instagram account. So do go add your penny, pound, comment onto the post if you wish. And we will speak to you again, hopefully when the weather is a little warmer, whether we'll be inside, outside, and Anna's actually shivering.
Bye for now.
See you later.